Tonight our Bible reading is in the Psalms, the Psalm number 27. And we're going to read together these 14 verses, Psalm 27, commencing verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidst, Seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path. Because of mine enemies, deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies. For false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Welcome again. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Does God ask his people to go through hard things? Is that God's will for even his own redeemed, blood-bought people, whom God loves with an eternal love, that he puts us through tribulation and trials? Well, as we read our Bibles, we see that the very best of the saints and servants of God went through very great trials and troubles. And so we ought not to be surprised or to be shocked when we are put through trials. Sometimes it is open persecution. Sometimes it is the subtle reproach of even our nearest and dearest. And sometimes it is our own hearts condemning us. The Christian is very much an anomaly. We profess faith in Jesus, the all-sufficient Savior. We tell ourselves and we tell the world that we're totally satisfied in the Lord Jesus. But when it comes to the real practical living, well, we realize that we're certainly not satisfied with ourselves. We can never say that we are holy enough, humble enough, nor that we serve God enough. And I'm always reminded of Robert Murray McSheehan, the Dundee preacher, who said, For every look to self, take 10 looks to Christ. That is always good advice. Whether you are discouraged, cast down by your own life, or as you look around and see the prosperity of the wicked, well, take 10 looks to Christ and one look to the situation around you. And that is where we find our encouragement and hope, in the Lord, in the Lord. But we must be looking unto him. Today we come to our message on
encouragement in the face of the world. Stay tuned as we come to our message on As We Let the Bible Speak.
On Wednesday evenings, over the last few months, we've been looking at the Psalms. Last Wednesday was Psalm 6, which is a deep one. It is the first of the penitential Psalms. And then you have the Messianic Psalms, which point very directly to the Lord Jesus. And one of the great miracles of the Bible is that you have the details of Jesus' life, whether it is betrayal, his cross work, even his resurrection, and much of his ministry that is pictured in a book that was written 1,000 years even before the birth of the Lord Jesus. Who said the Bible is not inspired? Who said that this is not a miraculous book? And I assure you that when you spend time in the book of Psalms, that it will speak so directly to the specific things that you're going through, your feelings, your emotions, and the very troubles and trials of life. One of the marvels of the book of the Psalms is its reality. The Psalms is not written for men who are supermen or people that are some kind of stoic, adamant stone types that don't feel anything, that never get down, never have a problem. The Christian life is not all joy, and it is not all times of rejoicing. There are deep things that Christians go through. And the book of Psalms is all about the heart and the emotions. It's about how we feel as well as how we think. And therefore, this book is very different, say, from the epistles of Paul, like the book of Romans. Here in the Psalms, you have little insights inside the emotional life of a believer. How they think, how they feel, their highs and their lows, their good days and their bad days. And our title to this Psalm 27 that we're looking at here tonight is A Promise for Days of Discouragement. Troubles will come. The Lord Jesus said that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. They are unavoidable. And you do not or should not have the idea that once you become a Christian, that your troubles in this world are all over. In some ways, they're only beginning, because that's when the spiritual battle begins. That's when light has entered your soul and it battles against darkness. That's when you have a new nature, and there is this wrestling between the new nature and the old nature. Now, you cannot live as a Christian and not suffer trouble from wicked men. You're going to have enemies. The Christian that doesn't have an enemy will not have much of a testimony. And this psalm is an antidote to fear. You'll see how it begins in the opening verse, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear?" Now, I can almost be guaranteed that there's someone in your life that's giving you a hard time. Someone in your life that's making life exceedingly difficult. You waking up in the morning thinking, "Oh no, not another day. I have to face that person. I have to withstand their tongue. I have to listen to all their criticisms." And so this psalm is an antidote to fear. Fear of the wicked that are mentioned there in verse 2. "When the wicked, even mine enemies." And if you are not troubled by the lifestyle, the attitudes, and the criticisms of the wicked against you, there's something wrong with your Christianity. Because there is this deep divide between the righteous and the wicked, between the child of God and the child of darkness. And remember the enmity that God has put between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. And you're going to find that enmity in the workplace. You're going to find it next door. You're going to find it with the ungodly in many places. Now you'll notice also that the psalmist here fears losing the face and the presence of God. Verse 9, hide not thy face far from me. That's one of the biggest fears of a child of God, that God is hiding his face from you. It's like when your father walks by you and he won't look you in the eye. He won't give you the greeting as before. He ignores you. A Christian cannot tolerate being ignored by God. Then also in verse 12, you will see there is this abandonment. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies. And when you're walking in this world and you're conscious of the enemies around you and those that criticize, those who are hostile to you, you want the Lord's protection. And so you pray like verse 12, deliver me not over to the will of mine enemies. Now, as I mentioned this morning, I do draw a line between discouragement and depression. Depression may be severer, and it may be longer in its term of darkness. It is sometimes caused by genetics. It can run in families. It can be the cause of poor diet. If you're eating candy floss and chocolate bars and crisps and so on, and you're not nourishing your brain, don't be surprised if you become brain weary and you become depressed. There is a direct link between a reasonable good diet, reasonable exercise, and a healthy mind. These things are interconnected. Then is also overwork, insufficient rest, lack of sleep, worry warts. Beware when you don't sleep and you have to face a new day that you get depressed. These are things that happen, and they happen to more than Christians, but they happen to Christians too. And then there is spiritual depression, and spiritual depression is real because the Christian is the most sensitive person in town, the most genuinely sensitive soul to what people think and say is the child of God, because we have a testimony to maintain. We have the Lord's honor at stake, and what people think and say matters. The ungodly can shrug it off and says, who cares? But the Christian cares. And we care for our family, we care for our children, we care for our church, that we live to the honor and to the glory of God. And so we're in a spiritual battle, and there is the evil forces. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of the air, demons and devils. We learned a little this morning about the ministry of angels. Well, there's fallen angels, wicked angels. They are under the leadership of the devil, and they attack God's people. Christians are to put on the whole armor of God. And so we are engaged in a hellish battle. And you can't be a Christian without being a sense that you are a soldier of the cross. And there are people who have none of these battles in their life, and they lose their walk with God. If you're going to walk with God, you have to battle. And we've got to hate what God hates and love what the Lord loves and take your side and take your stand for God. That's the call of a Christian. Now, I'm coming back to discouragement, because you can have a healthy mind, you can be eating the most wonderful diet in the world, you can be the most healthy person in the world, and you might have absolutely nothing wrong with you, but when you seek to serve God, you can become discouraged. And discouragement can knock many professors of Christ to fall away. Discouragement can cause pastors to give up, and many do. Many enter into the pastoral ministry and they survive but a short time. There are cities in North America and they've gotten the name of the pastor's graveyard. None last very long, seemingly. And of course, there's all kinds of reasons for that. And if we're honest, there's not a preacher in the world who on a Monday morning's ready to resign. Because, well, he despairs of his own preaching. He looks back over the Sunday, oh, I could have preached that so much better. I don't think anybody was listening at all the whole day. And we thought we had a bad turnout in the morning. Well, it was worse in the evening. And there's all kinds of reasons why you might throw in the towel. And then, of course, there are people who are very fickle in their following. They praise you one day and they criticize you the next day. That's hard to take. And there are some sensitive souls who don't have a thick enough skin and they just can't take it. And it becomes most wearisome, most discouraging. Now, that could be true for Sunday school teachers as well. It can be true for deacons and elders in a church. You know, if you feel you're not appreciated and everything you're doing seems to get a negative response, well, you get very discouraged, you get cast down. And that spirit of discouragement, it's like a rot. This week at our vacation Bible school, we were learning about the children of Israel in the desert and how they took to murmuring. They were complaining, oh, why did you lead us into this wilderness? Why did we not stay in Egypt? We want the leeks and the onions and the garlic and all the nice things we had to eat back there. This manna, we're tired of this. And there was a spirit of murmuring that came amongst the children of God, and it was infectious. To the point when they criticized Moses and God, the Lord sent those serpents among them to bite them. And well, the whole lesson is all about how to be cured from the snake bites. They had to look on to Jesus. And there is a great gospel lesson. But murmuring is like a bad apple in the barrel. And if there's one rotten apple, well, before long, the whole barrel will be rotting. And it can happen in a church. It can happen in any group of people. It can happen in a family. Parents, don't let your children be whiners. Kill it right away. And in our own hearts, don't go to the place of whining. Now here in Psalm 27, and the very last verse in particular, or verses 2, 13 and 14, you'll see here David said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now here is the way of self-encouragement. What to do when you feel blah, when you feel prayerless, when you feel you have lost your song, when you feel that you can't go another step. I feel like quitting. What to do? Well, you need to recognize the cause of fainting. David was a realist. And what a marvelous thing that he wrote these Psalms, a bit like a journal, and he wrote it for the benefit of others. Because he had come through this. He said, I had fainted. I had almost fainted, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And so he is saying, I was there and I came through it. God brought me through it. And I'm sharing this with you so that when you are in that pit of discouragement, that you will know what to do. And so he opened his heart. And in these three words, I had fainted. And you'll notice that they're in italics. They are not backed up with Hebrew words, word for word. But they give the true sense of the passage and the whole statement. They are required if we're going to understand what was going on in David's heart. Now, C.H. Spurgeon said that this spirit of fainting is a common infirmity. If you ever read his book, of lectures to my students. He has a chapter in it called Fainting Fits for Preachers. Fainting fits. It's a common malady. There are many that get to a point where they say they cannot go on any further. And it certainly was true of David. He had been there. He understood what it was like. Now I want to look at the cause of David's nigh fainting. Of course, it's his enemies. Now, if you know the life of David, he was criticized by so many, including his own brothers. You remember the day he showed up at the army and the scene of battle, and the Philistines were chanting, and the Goliath was coming out roaring, and his brothers were saying to David, "What are you doing here? You should be back looking after those few sheep." And so his brothers were very critical and tough on David. They could have discouraged him. Then, of course, the Philistines, they were no friend of David. Then Saul. Wow. Was ever there a father-in-law to be afraid of? Young man, you be careful whom you marry. If you end up in David's camp, you'll have enemies. Saul was an avid enemy to death, and he hunted him constantly with a vicious hatred, a terrible thing. And his own wife, Michal, she wasn't exactly totally supportive of David either. And you'll notice in verse 2 that these enemies were cruel. They were cruel. "When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh." Wow, do people really hate like that? Do people get so incensed, so obsessed about things, that they would even get so physically violent? You'll notice too that in verse 6, David could not get away from them. "And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me." They were everywhere. It wasn't just that guy over there, I've got to avoid him. They were everywhere. David seemed to be surrounded with enemies. And then down in verse 12, you'll see that they were telling lies about him. It wasn't just the sword, it wasn't just the physical opposition, but it was the tongue. "Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen against me." And there you have the word cruelty in verse 12. You see, God's people not only suffer the physical opposition of enemies, but there is the criticism, the mocking, the jeering. In Hebrews 11, that hall of faith, you read about those who suffered martyrdom, but also it talks about those who suffered cruel mockings. Cruel mockings. And it's a terrible thing to be mocked. Walking down the street and you hear the mutter of your enemy, they're mocking you, they're trying to pull you down. And of course, this very often is the Christian's lot in life. When we profess the name of the Lord, we will find the horrible hatred of the men of the world. Now, the Lord Jesus warned us of this. In John 15, he talked about, "If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also." And so we're not greater than our master. If we are a Christian, a Christ one, a disciple and a follower of Jesus, raising up the banner of the cross in our lives, expect the world to oppose us. That's what the Bible tells us, and the Lord Jesus has warned us of over and over and over again. Now, what are we going to do with cruel words against us? Are we going to allow them to burrow into our hearts and destroy our Christian lives? Are we going to allow the mockings of men to deter us from being a Christian and following after the Lord? No, we're called to put on the armor, the uniform of a soldier. That's what a Christian is. We are soldiers of the cross, not a follower of the world. And so the Christian has to learn to withstand these things. Now, you know, little children, how upset they can get whenever a brother or someone says something nasty and they come running to mom and dad and they're crying, "He said this to me and I am hurt." Now, we as Christians don't be wimps. We need to pray for strength. We need to pray for grace to be overcomers, to be victors, and to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And so when the ungodly criticize, and it might be a family member, it might be one who was a dear friend, and then that gets really tough, and it can't just rub off or run off. It really strikes you in the heart. But you have to tell yourself, this is what the Lord has called me to endure. And I've now got to pray for my enemy, and I've got now to withstand these hostilities and to be strong in the power of the Lord.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. I want to lead in a short prayer to ask the Lord to heal us from our hurts and to give us grace, the oil of His comfort, to overcome the discouragements of life. Lord, we come to Thee in the name of the Lord Jesus. And O Lord, Thou art no stranger to reproach and to the taunts and mockery of men. And many of Thy dear people have suffered horrible persecutions, verbal hurts, and those things that go like arrows to the heart to cast us down. O Lord, today will You send us the Holy Spirit to heal the hurts and to give us victory in our own souls to be overcomers against every opposition. Lord, You have called us to be soldiers, to put on the whole armor of God, to stand against the wiles of the devil. And so I pray that You will equip us and by Your Spirit give us boldness of heart, that we may be as bold as lions, wise as serpents, but harmless as doves in this wicked generation. And we ask for Your grace for every need. And we ask it all in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.